Good morning. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Come on, give thanks. Give thanks unto the great. Give thanks unto the Holy. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ. Come on, stand to your feet and worship. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord. Come on, somebody worship with me. And now, let the say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what He's done. Look at what He's done. Give thanks. Come on, somebody should be worshiping the Lord today. Give thanks. Oh, mighty God, maker of heaven and earth, we welcome you in this place. We welcome your Holy Spirit. We desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands, we lift our hearts, and we offer up this praise. Welcome, come on, sing of it. Into this place. I'm not going to be before you long. Come on. Welcome into this room. You desire to abide in the praise. So we lift our hands just for you. We lift our hearts just for you. And we offer. Welcome, 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 welcome. Somebody want to worship the Lord with me this morning? Welcome into this place. Somebody worship with me. Welcome into this place. Oh, He desires to abide in the presence. Yes, we do. We lift our hands. Yes, we do. We lift our hearts. Yes, we do. We lift our hands. We lift our hands. Yes, we do. Come on, open your heart. Open your heart. One more time. We lift our hands. Yes, we do. Put your hands together and give them some praise. I know it's early, but this praise team got me riled up. Sung some of my favorite songs. And then had the nerve to come back with Common and John Legend. What y'all know about common? What y'all know about common? Shallow? I'm glad y'all like common, because one of my points I took from Drake. I got 4 points today, and one of them came from Drake. Shallow, shallow, how are you this morning? I'm glad to be back in this place. I preached here some while ago, and I preached a sermon. It's not enough just to have a seat at the table. Y'all remember that? But you must serve. Remember that? People talking about we need a seat at the table. No, 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 no. We need more than a seat at the table. We need to be the ones who set the table. To have the agenda at the table. Serving the food at the table. And y'all ain't ready for that. But let me get up on out of here. I know y'all, as Reverend Armstrong said, I'm a Pentecostal, son of a Pentecostal pastor, uncle who's a bishop in the Church of God in Christ. And I was raised and reared in the Church of God in Christ back in the day when they had a saying, you could not join in, but you had to be born in. Now, I'm not quite sure where they got that from, but at one time, Kojic, they said, we don't want you to be a part, you had to be born. And I don't know where that came, but that's all right. That's old school church stuff, that all night prayers. Y'all ever heard of that? Tarry until the Holy Ghost come. Sweating and spitting and they don't rear them up like that no more. You're gonna stay there until the Holy Ghost come. Now I ain't gonna scare you. I ain't gonna speak in tongues. I know the Baptist folks don't like that, so I ain't gonna. All right. It's Black History Month. Thank you. And it's amazing to be here in Black History Month and the history of our people. I'm going to talk a little about that today, the history of our people, where we come from. Giving honor to all the elected officials and ministers and preachers. There's great choir musicians here today. Reverend Armstrong and First Lady. Good to see you and the children. I know what it's like to be pastor's kids, because I feel for you. I'm praying for y'all. So let's go to the scriptures for today. I'll be coming from John, the book of John, 11th chapter, 31 to 39. And I'm just getting over a cold. My wife will be here at the next service. She wanted to be here for both services, but she adopted a dog. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all catch that? She adopted a dog. So when it was time to get up, she adopted a dog. Now, I did get over it. But. So starting at the 31st verse, the scripture says, the Jews then which were with her in the house comforted her. When they saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out, following her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore groaned again in himself, cometh to the grave, and it was at the cave, and the stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He has been dead 4 days. May the Lord have the blessing to the reading of his word. I want to take the sermon title from that 39th verse. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by the time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't let the stink stop you from receiving your miracle. Turn to the other person next to you and say, neighbor, don't let the stink stop you from receiving your miracle. Now, sometimes we get, I got to give you the background of the scripture. The 11th chapter is very, very peculiar. Because there's a lot of stinking things that goes on in this period in Jesus' life. And I'm quite sure you've been around some things that's been stinking in your life and stinking in our community. Jesus heard that his friend was sick, and Jesus was out doing the work that God had called him to do. And sometimes the work that God calls us to do causes us to run up against things that stink sometimes. Are you with me? Now, by this time, Jesus is getting close to the end of his time being on earth. And whether you know it or not, he had already survived several assassination attempts. That when you're doing God's work, you got to understand that sometimes people are not going to be happy about that. And they will try to demean and kill your character. They will try to demean and kill the friendships that you have. And some folks will even try to kill and demean the relationships that you have built that are so precious to you. And so these folks have some stinking thinking in their mind, thinking if they can put you down, that would bring them up. Do you know anybody like that? So Jesus was going and heard that his friend had died. But what he was dealing with at that time, that folks had already tried to kill him more than once. But his mind was still carried on and focused on the work that God had him to do. So it is important for us to know that Jesus was a man of a radicalism. Now, so I wanted to dispel the myth of this meek and mild Jesus. I'm not going to talk about the meek and mild Jesus. Y'all can have him at another time, all right? I'm not familiar with that Jesus. I'm familiar with the Jesus who's so radical that he would go into the temple and turn over the tables when he saw his people being taken advantage of. I'm familiar with the Jesus who would stand face to face with the Pharisees and call them vipers and snakes. You know, that's the Jesus that I'm familiar with. Y'all don't hear me anymore. See, I love that Jesus. That's why I love Dr. King, not the I Have a Dream Dr. King. Y'all can have that one. But the Dr. King that said we need to turn up and reestablish the economic system in this country and make sure that every individual have a guaranteed income. Dr. King said, I understand that this nation lets you integrate lunch counters. They'll let you just sit next to somebody. But when you're talking about removing the barrier of capitalism and establishing a system when everybody can have a guaranteed income, that's when folks try to kill you. When you're standing up for the rights of the poor, when you're standing up for the widow and the orphans, when you're standing up and say that every child should have a quality education, when every person should have a right to work and have equal pay no matter what. That's what those in power and position begin to plot and scheme. Are you with me? The other day I was riding in the car with my wife and I said, baby, how did this presidency happen? What happened? I got to say that I'm going to get to this, but it messed with me so much that it challenged my faith. See, I ain't one of them holy preachers, okay? I get mad and I get doubtful and I get angry and I begin to question my faith. How could this happen? The suffering that we have, the people have gone through slavery, and as soon as we try to get somewhere, they always keep pulling us down. God, if you're there, can you hear the cries? I guess this presidency didn't do that, but it did. It shook me to my core. And I said, baby, what happened? She said, you know, all the talk and the focus has been on Donald Trump's racist rhetoric, his misogynistic ways and his narcissistic tendencies and how he feel about immigrants, but no one really bring attention to the fact that this man has never held an elected office ever in his life, has never been elected to a school board, has never been the class president, has never sat on a city council or anything, but now he's leading the world at the most powerful position in the world. And how has this happened? She said, well, baby, it comes down to one thing: money, power, and influence. So that's what I mean. So when Dr. King was killed, he wasn't killed because of integration. He was killed because he was started messing with money, power, and influence. I got news for you. Another thing. Stay with me now. Jesus didn't get into trouble until he started messing with money, power, and influence. Are you hearing me now? Jesus was a radical. He understood the risk. He knew what he was dealing with. He was dealing with the money, power, and influence of those religious elected officials at the time. Those who was of his own race, his own creed, his own ethnic makeup, who was put in position to protect them, but all of a sudden start to abuse and manipulate for their own gain. So there's a lot of stinking things going on in our black communities. But you know what? God is preparing us for a miracle. But we can't let the stink stop us from what God is about to do in our community. So it requires us, the point number one, it requires us to be brave, to be not be afraid. So number one, don't let fear win. You hear people all over the country afraid of what's going to happen. But God said, I am not the author of fear, but I give you a sound mind. Hallelujah. God, listen, Jesus didn't fear what he was about to face. Neither did our ancestors. When Harriet Tubman began to free the slaves, she knew what was at stake. She knew her life was on the line. But when you're working for justice, when you're working for God, and you're working for the benefit of others, you're not worried about you, but you know you got a job to do, and that job is to bring justice, equality, righteousness. Hallelujah. 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 One thing I love about our ancestors, they weren't thinking about themselves. They were thinking about you and me. They knew they wouldn't see this. Some of them knew they wouldn't live to see the day that we elect the black president, but they had faith and believe without fear and wavering that one day, like King said, I've been to the mountaintop. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He said, I may not get there with you. Harry Tubman said, I may not survive this last slave transition, but if I can get a few across the line, if I can make sure I get a couple across the line, because once they let us in, look out, we will take over. We will run the world, like Beyonce said, run the world. Who we are as a people. Who we are as a people is more than what they ever imagined or thought. We overcome some of the most brutal, horrible things that happened on us. The slave ships being piled upon piles, slave after slave, chained in the bottom of the ships, being seasick. Oh, the vomit, the feces, the menstrual cycles, all those things. Y'all don't hear me. This is who we are, the people. We've come through that stuff. Those stinking things that they put us through. Those stinking things that we put up with. Those promotions that we were supposed to get. The raises that we were supposed to get. Hallelujah, the backbiting that we've had. We put up with some stinking stuff. But I'm here to tell you, our ancestors did not let the stink stop them, because they knew a day. day was coming, that some of the faces sitting here today, hallelujah, they knew that one day folks would be sitting in Shiloh Baptist Church making six figures. I'm almost done. Y'all ain't ready for this. Let's go, let's go. Let's go, let's go. Point number two. Point number two. God doesn't want to see you suffer. God doesn't want to see you suffer. Turn to your neighbor and say, God doesn't want to see you suffer. Somehow somebody told you that we are a suffering people. No, 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 no. We overcome suffering. But we're not supposed to suffer. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Somebody told you that we should expect less. Somebody told you that we're supposed to have poor education. Somebody told you you're supposed to live in dilapidated houses. Hallelujah. No, no, no. God doesn't want to see you suffer. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also saw him weeping, he groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled. He was troubled that his friend Martha and Mary was weeping and was hurting that their brother had died. Their suffering caused him to suffer. He was angered in his spirit. Hallelujah. When God sees us hurting, he knows you're hurting, and he wants to do everything he can to relieve that hurting, to relieve that pain. Don't listen to the naysayers. We're not supposed to suffer. We're not supposed to have less. We're not supposed to put up with stinking attitudes. Hallelujah. When you go into a department store or any store and you don't get the service that you're supposed to get, don't spend your money there. You are not supposed to suffer. You are not supposed to be treated less than, no matter where you come from, no matter where you live, no matter how much money you have, you are not supposed to be treated any kind of way. Our ancestors put up with that, that you don't have to endure such things. Don't let this thing stop you from expecting a miracle from God. And Jesus in 34 said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. In the 35th verse, the shortest verse in the Bible, and it said, Jesus wept. Again, he wept. Y'all don't hear me. He weeps when we weep. Are you with me, Shiloh? I don't know who told you he didn't. Hallelujah. He weeps when you weep. Then the Jews said, behold, he loved him. God shows us he loves us when we're in the place to remember, to understand. It's a mindset that we had to gather ourselves to prepare for the miracle. Yes, we got to go through some stink, but those things are made to trap you, to get you to thinking that God doesn't care, that God doesn't hear your prayers, that God doesn't see what's happening. I know what I'm talking about. Because early in this sermon, I told you, this presidency shook me to my core. Hallelujah. I almost slipped, David said. If I had not seen, if I kept my eyes on the things that we were going through, I would have forgot that God is still on the throne. Is it okay that I share with you my personal feelings? It shook me to my core. Is that all right? Have you ever seen a preacher talk about this? That my faith was wavering. I almost slipped. I almost said, you know what? What's the use? Why do we keep going to church? Why do we keep praying? Every time we make a step one, it seems like we're going back two more. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I guess you've never been there. I said to God, do you even exist? How can you see your people suffering and do nothing? How can this happen? How can this man be president? This is what I'm talking about, me. It might not have been you, but I begin to question God, question my faith. And then I remember there's some stinking things that go on. And my mind started to stink. And I had to remind myself, great is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I had to pull myself up, freshen myself up, encourage myself to run on to see what the end's going to be. Because it's not about me. It's about my children and my children's children. Don't let the stink stop you from getting your miracle. I got the wrap up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm almost done, Shiloh. Hallelujah. The 31st, the 36th verse. They said to the Jews, behold how they loved him. And this is my third point. These folks, these Jews were the mourners, professional mourners, that when somebody died, they would come to your house, not because they knew you, not because they cared about you. It was their job just to mourn with you. They're supposed to make you feel better. They took pride in this, particularly the Jews. So they didn't have any connection to Mary and Martha. They were just folks that's just doing their job, making sure you mourn, making sure you keep crying. So this is the third point. And I borrowed this from Drake. Okay? When you're trying to get a miracle from God, you got to get away from fake people. Okay? Drake said, I've been down so long, it looks like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. Straight up to my face. You ever heard a preacher quote Drake in the pulpit? This is fake people. Fake people. Trying to keep you where you are. Trying to keep you down. Trying to keep you mourning and suffering. Oh, baby, that's all right. Yeah, just stay right there. Don't worry about it. You didn't need that job anyway. I'll help you out. I'll be here for you. And the 37th verse shows you how fake they were. Because right after they said, oh, how he loved him, in the very next verse they said, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man to see that should have not died? Fake people showing fake love to me. Straight up to my face. These are the ones that talk about you behind your back when you're suffering. Smile in your face. All the time want to take your place. I guess y'all know some of them songs, huh? I love some of them songs. I know some of us senior folks with those of experience, we get on the young people. Get mad at them because of the songs they listen to. The other day, me and my wife was in the car and I turned on Drew Hill. Drew Hill from back in the day. And Drew Hill had a song called Tell Me What You Want. Tell Me What You Need. Tell Me If It Ain't Good Enough For You, Baby. Tell Me. Now listen. And I was singing it to my wife. Because listen to me. Because this is about communication when you're married. So some of y'all ain't been there yet. So my main objective is to please my wife. So I had to tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. And let me know if it ain't good enough for your baby. I'm still in scripture now. So the crux of the song is, I will do whatever I have to do to please my wife. And she will do the same. And so we got to thinking, like we always talk about these songs. And then we always criticize the young folks. And then one day we was riding down the street and we were listening to Bobby Womack. And we just are singing, if you think you're lonely now, waited till tonight. And we would sing and start listening to the words. That's a horrible song. He telling this woman, you think you're lonely, wait until tonight. And I turned the channel, I said, well, let me listen to some Lou Ross. You'll never find. I said, listen to the word, wait a minute. He telling her she'll never find a love like him now that he's gone. Know what? You even gonna miss my loving. You're gonna miss my love. I said, what kind of message? What in the world is this Negro talking about? There's not another man that can satisfy. Yeah, sometimes we start talking about these young people's songs and listening to stuff that we used to listen to. Very misogynistic songs. The goal of this man is to say she's gonna miss him and she'll never find anybody like him. Believe me, ladies, there's always somebody out there that will tell you, tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. Tell me if it ain't good enough for you. I got to wrap it up. I'm out of time. And these fake folks, could he have not, eyes of the blind, could he have not seen that these folks had here to save them? And Jesus said, therefore groaned himself again in his spirit. And he said, take away the stone. Martha, his sister, said to him, the man has been dead, Lord. He's been dead for 4 days. By now he stinks. Jesus said unto her, had said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, shouldn't I see the glory of God? If you can get past the stink and believe, you will see the glory of God. If you can get past the stink, if you can get past the stinking attitudes, if you get past the stinking dispositions, if you can get past the stink in your life, sometimes we have to put away the stink. Sometimes we got to put away some stuff that's been in our lives. And the fourth point, I got to wrap it. The fourth point is, there are some things in your life that has to die first before you get that miracle. Are you listening? There are some things in our lives that God has to let die first. Jesus waited until Lazarus died because there's some things that God wants to do. There's some new miracles that God wants to give you, but there's some old things that have to die. There's some stinking attitudes that have to die. There's some old arguments you need to let go. There's some past hurts and pains you need to let go. There's some old traditions and values you need to let go. God is trying to give you a miracle, but these old things are stinking, are staying in the way. There's some old things that have to go, some values. There may be some religions that have to go, but they're stinking and blocking your miracle. Y'all don't hear me? We have these traditions and these systems that keep us in one place. Some of these systems and traditions blocks and moves families far apart. Because your brother or sister is a Muslim, because your brother or sister may be gay, you have this thing in your head that I'm Christian and I can't deal with it. There's some stinking things that God is trying to get rid of that you need to let go. I don't care who that person is, a brother or sister, no matter what they're involved in, if they're being oppressed, it's about relieving oppression. It's about justice and mercy. No matter what their lifestyle, no matter what their choices are, no matter what you think of them, there's some stinking things in you that has to die first before God gives you a miracle, gives you new eyes to see, a new heart to love with, a new way to walk, a new way to talk, a new way to see the world. And you see the world through the eyes of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. If you don't let the stink stop you from seeing a miracle, if you don't let the devilish thing stop you from being a miracle. Hallelujah. Some of you are waiting for a miracle from God, but you in fact are the miracle. You got a story to tell. You came through some stink that God needs to tell someone, but you got this attitude. That was in my past, but there's a story to tell that somebody needs deliverance. You are the miracle. Stop letting your stinking attitude, your uppity attitude that you used to live in Trenton and now you live in Princeton. You forgot about those folks who are still stuck here in the stinking system, stinking education. But you got out one way. You believe in God. You put in the work. You are the miracle that can encourage a mother that is struggling right now. You are the miracle that can encourage a brother who got out of prison and can't see his way. You are the miracle. Don't let the stink stop you from getting your miracle or being a miracle. Can you say, yeah, I'm done, church. God got a miracle for you. He got a miracle waiting for you. Don't let the stink stop you. You are God's choice. You are God's chosen one. You are the miracle. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, roll away the stone. And he prayed. He said, Father, I'm glad that these folks are here to see it. Hallelujah. Show yourself. Show your power. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. The one thing that was dead is now alive again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some dead relationships that God wants to revive. Hallelujah. There's some dead positions that God wants to revive. Don't let the stink stop you from getting your miracle. Hallelujah. Lazarus came forth and he was wrapped in clothing. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Let yourself go today. Come on, saints, let yourself go. Give God some praise. Let yourself go. He has a miracle for you. He has a miracle for you. He has a miracle for you. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he open doors that no man can shut? Won't he heal wounds that you didn't think could be healed? Won't he open up new opportunities that you didn't see? When you're back against the wall, God will break the hole in the wall and carry you through. Don't let the stink stop you. Turn to somebody and say, don't let the stink stop you. Yeah. Are you with me today, saints? I know I'm an unorthodox preacher, but that's who I am. That's who God made me. Let me tell you something. From the way I'd read Jesus, Jesus was more concerned about our lives here, now, on earth. Why are you listening to me? Some of you got some work to do. Can I say something? It's Black History Month. The shame of slavery is not ours to bear. That's this nation's. We are a people with a unique history. We don't have to be better than them. We are. Let this world system, this America, American nonsense that make you one of them. Carter G. Woodson, the founder of Black History Week, which became Black History Month, he wrote a book called The Miseducation of the Negro. And in that book, he talked about the stink that we've come through, but some of us have arrived to a level. Some of us even gotten a Harvard education. And the danger that he talks about, if we're not careful, if we aren't reminded who we are, we'll become them. So a white man with a Harvard education and a black man with a Harvard education can be just as dangerous as the white man if he doesn't understand where he comes from. Saints of God, God cares about it here and right now. And it's our responsibility to help those who haven't come up yet. Howard Thurman said, Jesus and the disinherited. There are some disinherited folks right here in Trenton who are struggling, dealing with a lot of stink. You are that miracle that can grab them and say, I got you. I got your back. Don't get into the history about how many baby daddies they got or how many criminal history they got. If they're coming to you for your help, and you can discern that they really want help. Listen to me now. And I'm not saying being stupid now. If you can discern that they truly need a miracle, it's our responsibility. God saw past your stink. Let us pray. My God, and the altar is open. I know I had some stink in my life. You rescued me, the preacher's kid, who was arrested, drugging, whoremongering, caught up in all kind of mess, carrying guns, being shot at. You, I had some stink in my life, a preacher's kid. You rescued me. Lord, we need your help, God. You haven't forgotten us. You're still on the throne. Lord, I ask today, touch the person's heart who needs to know you. That you're a God of a second, third, and fourth chance that you can heal. Is there one today that has some stink in their life, but you need a miracle today? Do you need a miracle today? We're here to help you. We're here to help you today. We're here to help you. Come by here, my Lord. Come by. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the folks who are here, God. God, help us to remember that our stories are miracles. And we need to share those stories, God. We need to share those stories. I pray that you give us the strength to remind us who you are, that the world is not in chaos, that you're always on the throne. You're on the throne of our lives, our relationships, our homes. If we get rid of some things that stink in our lives, there's a miracle waiting for us. I pray that all of us today receive your miracle and be the miracle. I ask in Jesus' name. God bless you. may be seated. God bless you. Come on, let's give God a praise offering for the message and the messenger. In the person of the Reverend Eric Dobson. We want to close the invitation by saying, as you look around, these men and women are not standing for form or fashion. They are here to be resources, spiritual resources for the people of God. If you are in need of prayer, step into the aisles, even now, and one of them can and will pray for you. If you have a question about Jesus, about the church, about God, then feel free to grab one of them after the service. And if for some reason you did not come yet and you want to still come, one of them will walk down the aisle with you. And so I just want to just give another minute, see if there's anyone who wishes to accept the Lord Jesus as Savior and or join this congregation today. If you're looking for a church home, we want to offer this congregation as a place where you can join and you can worship as a believer in the Lord Jesus. Anyone. God bless you. God keep you. You may be seated. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, you may take your seat.